be unto you. Sing it one more time. Thank you, Lord. Blessing and honor, glory and power, riches and wisdom and strength. Yes. Blessing and honor, glory and power, riches and wisdom and strength be unto
our love, thanksgiving, so good, so beautiful, Lord, even just in this moment, Father, I believe, joining in with angelic voices, Lord, in another dimension, another realm. I believe you're pulling us more into that reality, into that dimension, Father. Oh, Lord, would you just be so exalted to us. So supremely lifted up, Father, that every other voice, but every other name, any other person, nothing else would be thought of or lifted up or magnified by you. Just bless your name tonight. Father, we want to ask for your grace, your blessing now upon this time. Lord, we look to you, Lord, that you would break the bread of life, Lord, with your children. You would bring each one into a place of communion, shut in with you. Lord, and even here on a Wednesday night, I know that thoughts are just howling in our minds. So many distractions. Seems like it's so hard to sometimes get still and to settle down. Lord, we pray that you would grant that tonight, that you would just quiet us down. Commune with us. Just rebuke any voice, any thought, any spirit that would be contrary to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we give you thanks. Love you. Bless this time, we pray. We ask it in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much, musicians. Appreciate you. Good. The Lord is good. And we just want to greet everybody online. God bless you all real richly. And I know, thinking of Brother Tom, I know he just taps right into the channel, so his name's not listed there, but he's always tuned in, and so God bless you, Brother Tom. and all of you, really. Thank you so much for all the prayers with our this thing with our neighbor. Jamie, did you mention the latest? Okay, yeah. So just continue to lift them up. And body, soul, spirit, the whole, you know, just everything. We just really, you know, you appreciate good neighbors, really. And they're just ones we've gotten to know just gradually over the years. And you can probably tell by his last name, he's a Mickelson. I think he's a Viking. Viking heritage. He's built like a polar bear. He's just a big, but a big, big heart. Big heart. You know, everybody who knows him loves him. And just such a sudden thing. So anyway, appreciate it. So, Lord is good. You know, we are blessed. We're such a blessed people. And I want to bring something tonight. Just simple that I hope is encouragement. You know, you are made to defy this realm. Praise God. You are made for that. You are made to overcome this world, this life, everything it can throw at us. We go back to that beautiful reality that, you know, as Brother Branham took us back and he says, you know, I'm an American, so I can identify with George Washington. I can identify with Abraham Lincoln. I was there. Amen. And how much more so of us, with us in this word. I was there. I was there. I was there in David when he faced Goliath. So I have already overcome. It doesn't matter what comes our way. We're right there in that word with him as overcomers. So the Lord is good. Let's just stand as we'll open up with one reading here this evening. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. And we'll start with verse 1 here. It says, Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Verse 4, So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. You can be seated. And I just like that. I want to kind of tie that together tonight. The Lord spoke, and Abraham departed, and really just ministered to me so much to see some things of how that voice brings, his voice brings a separation. And so we are, by his grace, separated unto that voice. And in there, in that is the separation that happens, this calling, because you can hear. Because you can hear his voice, you're separated unto him. You're an oddball. The world, don't try to, you know, the world can't understand you. It's not gonna. Don't try to make that happen. But you are called. You are called to walk with him. And you know, it's interesting. Mankind has always tried in his own efforts to separate himself unto God. It's through some sort of program or you know, the monasteries, whatever. Man is in his own self trying to separate himself. But in all reality, it's God that separates, and it's that voice, hearing his voice, that brings a separation unto him. We're so blessed. So blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The things that you, and I've been just so captivated recently. I love this, you know, in Romans 10:17, you don't have to turn there, but we know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. So it's that word, the word that hears, that part of you that is a part of him that can hear Mama Eagle. And that's everything. And in that we have overcoming. In that we have sanctification. Because what is that voice that we're hearing? It's the word. That word cleanses us. Jesus said, you're clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. So we find in this beautiful separation that I wasn't looking for and you weren't looking for. But we can hear. We can hear something that other people can't hear. And in that we're separated unto him. And in there is everything that you and I have need of, really. Just such a beautiful simplicity. So that's really the thought there in a nutshell. We'll continue to go through some scriptures and look at some examples. But again, looking at how we are called and separated unto him, unto that voice. Amen. Again, let's actually turn there. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, because we're going to read a few more verses with this that I just quoted. So, okay, Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, we'll start there. It says, And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed, verse 16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The most amazing, the most wonderful thing that ever could happen to a human being, right there. Amen. To hear from eternity, to have that voice, that identification, that magnify or magnetizes us, and captures us, and consumes us. And it's a journey. It's a journey that we're on because we hear that voice. It's like Abraham, it call brings a separation, and it's a lifelong experience of you, me, each one of us, becoming more and more and more into a place of communion and fellowship alone with him. Listening to that voice, following that voice. Turn with me to another one. We'll just read here in John chapter 10, another familiar passage. But it's just some beautiful nuggets here that we'll actually start with verse 1. Let's see. Might pick a few out here. We'll start with verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. There it is again. They know his voice. Mm-hmm. And the stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. Amen. And then just, let's see here. We'll drop down to 16. Other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Amen. And then over to verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now I think what's so beautiful. How does he identify his sheep? Well, they're, of all the things that could be said about his children, how smart you are, how intelligent, how holy, he says one thing. He says, my sheep know my voice. They can hear me. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that rich? Isn't that so awesome? My sheep know my voice. So in that hearing, there's an identification. There's a reality. Hey, this is who I am. Not because I have anything to offer, but he by predestination, he chose. And I have, again, that word, that part of him inside of me that can connect, that can hear, that can listen. And I'm on this amazing, amazing journey. I want to just reread that last verse in the Weast. I think we've shared this before, but if you have your devices, if you have the Weast, I love this. It says, The sheep which are mine are in the habit of listening to my voice. And he goes on, and I know them by experience. There you go. He knows. Right? What does he say to the others? He says, depart. I never knew you. But my sheep, I know. There's this communion. I know them by experience. And they take the same road that I take with me. And I give unto them eternal life. So beautiful. Just a few more. And I'll read some of these again. You can just listen or write them down. John chapter 8 and verse 43, Jesus said, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Why? They didn't have that receptacle, you could say, that the ability to hear, the ability to receive. You do. That's the most beautiful, amen, wonderful thing in life, period. He says there just a few verses down, John 8:47, he that is of God heareth God's words. If you are out from him, if you are begotten from him, you will hear. You will have that identification. You will know what is true. He says, ye therefore hear him not, because you're not of God. And I was thinking of that, and just this reality of hearing his voice, of recognizing his voice. And I, if you remember, you go back to just the meaning of recognize. Right? What is it? I think we've gone over that before. This is Noah Webster, just right out of the dictionary, for recognize. It's to recollect or recover knowledge of, either with an avowal of that knowledge or not. We recognize a person at a distance when we recollect that we have seen him before or that we have formerly known him. We recognize his features or his voice. So again, there's that part of us that, okay, somehow there's this recognition, there's this ability to hear, there's this connection with eternity because I came from eternity, I was a part of him, and through that, because of that, I can hear. So amazing. And there, you and me, each one of us, are separated unto him. Here we are fellowshipping together. This is wonderful. But it's that voice that you can hear, that voice that draws you, that voice that keeps you and calls you and cleanses you and is going to take you all the way. You have everything that you have need of in that voice. Amen? Again, because we can hear by his grace, because we're in this journey, I believe, a process taking us to a place more all the time where that voice and that voice only has preeminence. See, Jesus learned obedience through the things. There's mystery there, but I believe that he's taking us to that place of adoption, taking us to that place of maturity, where that voice begins to grow and become more of a reality. And again, it's we become completely captivated by that voice and that voice alone. So again, you're called, you're separated unto him, separated unto his voice in this day. I love this, Brother Branham. He says, just so simple. Lean not unto thine own understanding. He says, Jesus said in St. John 10, my sheep know my voice. A voice, of course, is his word when he's speaking. My sheep know my voice. My voice has been proven to them it to be true. It's been vindicated that it is my voice. Amen. Present tense. Love it. Now notice, they are not subject to following any other voice. Just what we read in John 10. They won't. Why? He says, my sheep know my voice and a stranger. They will not follow. Amen. I love that. In another one, he says, "In this is the message God called man." He's talking about David. I like what he says here. He says, I think of the rugged training he did to David. See, God knows how to school, to train each one of us. And I think how what he takes us through in how and why and when is so unique. He, in his amazing, infinite, perfect wisdom, knows how to do this, to train. He says, he never schooled him so much as in some school, but he schooled him in his own school. David was a hunter and a shepherd, and in the Psalms he wrote of green pastures and still waters because he was there alone by himself. He wasn't contaminated by the things of the world. He says, God, listen to this, has got to get a man away from the things of the world so he can get him quiet, so he can listen to God, that still, small voice. Then, he says, once in contact with God, he becomes fearless. Then, see, notice that he don't care what anyone else says. He's been in the presence of God. He knows God in the power of his resurrection. There we go. And no wonder we, in this hour, in this day, all hell is fighting against that. Trying to distract, trying to bombard. Watch, you know, sit down every day. Well, as soon as you start your day, sitting back there, it doesn't matter where it is. Watch what just goes through your mind. You know, where's it coming from? The distractions. And so no wonder I'm just more and more in love with, in awe of, and drawn to be still and know that I am God. Be still. And you know what? I think by his grace, he's working that out in us into that place where we can filter and separate it. Would be wonderful if we could run off to the cabin all the time and be still in that sense, but that doesn't happen. So even in this crazy, neurotic latency in life, I believe he gives us a grace to listen, to do that, just to be still. To listen for that still, small voice. And I love how he says that. He says, you've heard from them, you've been in your presence. He becomes fearless. Why? Because that voice has such a power, such a reality. That becomes your reality, not anything in this realm. It's that voice. Amen. So hearing brings that hearing. Hearing his voice brings a safety, brings us a security. For the sheep of his fold will not submit or yield to any other voice. A few more little points here. He wants, what is it that, you know, hearing his voice, it's God himself sharing his heart and mind with you. Amen. It's not so that we're anything become big in ourselves or something intellectual. No, it's God's heart transmitted into yours. You become partners with him, sharing in his heart, sharing in his mind. I love Psalm 40, verse 6 says, sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire, but mine ears have thou opened. Isn't that beautiful? He wants to talk. He wants to you to listen. He wants to speak. He wants to share his heart with you. Isaiah, just quoting these again, Isaiah 30, I like this, 30 verse 21 says, and thine ears, yours, will hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. And there it is again, something so personal, so individual for each one of us. that place of hearing His voice that I know I've heard, and I know when He speaks to me, I know that voice. And then again, in this journey of listening, in growing in that place of communion and fellowship with that voice, there we are separated. Amen. That voice is a lifeline to us. Though all else fail around us, and it will, and it is more every day, more and more every day. Though all else fail, the believer is securely anchored to that voice and the reality that that voice represents. So this realm, this dimension, loses its grip on us as we become more in tune and more aware of that reality. Amen. Think of Abraham. Romans 4, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. There we go. He'd heard. He had heard. And what I see and what I feel and what I'm looking at no longer matters. I've heard that voice, and that's my reality. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Amen. And everything contrary to that voice becomes a lie. Let God's word be true, and every man's voice a lie. I think of this reality that hearing and listening and being in that place separated unto him, unto his voice, brings us to a place of overcoming, because you've now heard, you know what's reality. And I was drawn to Revelations, chapters 2 and 3, as we go through the church ages. Each church age, you know, there's he that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. What comes right after that? To him that overcometh. To him that overcometh. If you have an ear to hear, you will overcome. Amen. Brother Ram says, in the waters of separation, he says, Father God in heaven, this word, how it makes, oh, I like this. He says, how it makes us free and sets us free, the water of separation. It sets our thinking free. I like that. We don't no longer think with our own mind. We just depend on what he said in the word. He says, you can't go wrong. God, you is the one who said it. You've separated. And then if we're separated from our own thoughts. I like that. Separated from our own ideas, we are lost then in you. Don't you love that? We are then lost in you. And if we just believe what you said, no matter how unreasonable it may seem, you're the God of circumstance. You're able to keep that which you've promised. And as Paul of old said, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. I just love that. You're lost from all your own thinking. It kind of brought to my mind that we've heard this quote so much, I believe, but it's just so beautiful, and I thought it was fitting here. How Brother Branham, how he says here, well, let me read this. Kind of ties in here. He says, now there's scoffers in that day, in the end time, rather, on the investments that men took in their heart to believe God's words. There's scoffers today against the word because it doesn't look sensible, but you're not supposed to use your own sense. So I love, again, hearing that voice brings us into a place where we're just totally yielded and submitted to that, and self abilities disappear. He says, you're not supposed to use your own sense. You say, I think, you ain't got no thought coming. And you know what? That's beautiful. That is so beautiful. To the believer, to the child of God, he hears that and he says, amen. And I like that because it's very liberating. The world around you thinks you're crazy. They think that's you know, the opposite. You're bound. You're crazy. But you ain't got no thought or think coming. Praise the Lord. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. And he always did those things which pleased the Father, because he was the Word. So we have no thought coming. Amen. So that voice, again, captivates us, and it brings us into that place of obedience, and where that voice is all we have and it's all we need. and there's no self-dependence or sufficiency, but what we hear, what he says. So we're separated unto them. We become a prisoner unto that voice. When you hear that voice, it rules. It rules you. It rules anything else. It becomes your reality. Jesus, and I love this, even him so beautifully, our example, he says in John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. What comes next? As I hear, I judge. So he was in that same place. His ears, he was listening. Couldn't do anything else but captive, completely yielded and given over to that voice, to the voice of the Father. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Amen. We've read this another in that same vein, Acts chapter 4. Verse 18, it says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak things which we have seen and heard. There you go. Again, that voice. So captivated, so dominated by that reality, I can't not speak, because I'm hearing from another realm, another dimension that has dominion over me and over this body and this flesh and this world. Amen. I want to touch on something here. This is kind of it's very familiar, but I just thought this was beautiful because it speaks of this. I believe obedience and love and all these things kind of tied up in one. He says, this is in spoken word, is the original seed. He says, now notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he's seen the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. See, John 5:19. So will the bride. So will you. So let's put our name right in there. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Then I got a great big hallelujah. He says, here's the secret. The word is in the bride. And the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. Oh. Amen. And she does it in his name. She has thus saith the Lord. She's heard. She's listening. She has thus saith the Lord. This isn't something she drums up. Not something she's trying to manufacture. She has no voice of her own. It's his voice. She's simply echoing, repeating what she hears. He says, then it is germatized. So the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves its purpose. They will do only his will. Amen. I believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have, thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. There you go. Completely bound, completely chained, completely in love with him and with that voice. So confident in his voice, in his leadership. And again, it's so beautiful because to each one, this is a unique and personal and individual walk and process where you grow in that reality of learning and listening to that voice. And then, now notice, then they will do the works of God, for it is himself in them continuing his word to fulfill, as he did complete in his days. All things when he was here, he did not complete all when he was here, for it was not time yet. But what a just a beautiful, rich reality that is. It is here. It's in us. It's a part of us. And I believe we're on that path and that journey. And these things are echoing inside of us, stirring inside of us. And something says, yes, amen. It will be. It will be. just a kind of short and winding down here tonight, I apologize, but let's turn to Acts chapter 22, just another kind of passage to draw from here that's blessed me. Acts 22. And we will, let's see, start at verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told of thee, of all things which are appointed for thee to do. When I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? And we know we could go all through Acts how God is doing this and turning from the Jews into the Gentiles, and we are so blessed in this hour to be able to hear what that voice, to hear him. But then I was just drawn in there that verse 9, we know that they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I thought, my goodness, what truth and what a type of all ages, really. How many people have seen that manifestation, seen the light, seen the outward, but have not truly heard the voice? Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Have you heard that voice? We're so blessed. Again, separated unto him, brothers and sisters, separated unto that voice, which is the word, that word inside you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Body, soul, spirit, we're a three-room house. That part of you that's a part of him is that can receive, that can hear from him. Just want to close with, this is a prisoner, the message of prisoner, and it's phenomenal, this little section here that I pulled out. We could go back, and I think all of us, let's go and add it to your list to messages to listen to. It's just so rich. But he's talking about, of course, Paul and being that prisoner, and just think on these things. Think of what we've been looking at tonight, just being so given over to that voice, the one that drew him and spoke to him and appeared to him, and what it wrought in him. He says in paragraph 96, he says, Now he could not go to certain places that he wanted. Why? Because the Spirit forbade him. He says, You remember many times that Paul was trying to go someplace thinking, This is where I could have a great meeting, but the Spirit would forbid him. He says, Now does that clearly state and prove that Paul was a prisoner. A prisoner to Jesus Christ, harnessed to his word by the Spirit. Oh, I like that. He says, He was bound. He was bound by a chain and by fetters of love to do the will of God, and that only. He was a prisoner. He was in fetters of love. He was in the yoke with Christ. There you go. You're yoked together with him. It's you and him. He was in the yoke with Christ. He could yoke up with nothing else. He was yoked with him. And where he led, that's where he went. where the lead went, that's where he had to go, regardless of how green the pasture was here on this side or that side. He had to go the way of the leader, and the yoke went. He says, "Oh, tonight, if we, as Branham Tabernacle, could only become prisoners to our own selfish being." And now stop for a minute, because he goes on, and I'm going to highlight something. How many times here he uses your own ambition? Your own ambition. So you can see right here this human struggle and our impulses and our desires and our thoughts and all these things, what we would want to do, but he takes us into a place where you're completely taken over and given over to him and obedient to him, that voice that leads you. He says, "Oh, if we could only become prisoners to our own selfish being, to our own ambition, that we would completely surrender ourselves and be yoked to him. No matter what the rest of the world thinks, what the rest of the world does, we're yoked with fetters of love. We are prisoners. My feet is so yoked to Christ, it won't dance. My eyes is so yoked to Christ, till when I see these modern striptease on the street, it turns my head. My heart is so yoked in love to him, till I can't have love for this world anymore. My will is so yoked to him, till I don't even know what my ambitions are." Wow. Is he taking us there? Is he? Let me read that again. "My will is so yoked to him, till I don't even know what my ambitions are. Just wherever you lead, Lord, I'll follow. I'll be a prisoner." See, Paul was correctly a prisoner. He wasn't making any wrong statement. Here it is again. He was trained by the Holy Ghost. Is he training you? Is he training me, each one of us? Trained again by the Holy Ghost to wait on the Word. There it is. He speaks or we don't have anything. It's complete and total dependence on him and upon that voice. Now, he had been trained one way, but God had to train him another way. He was trained by the Holy Spirit to wait on the Lord no matter what his ambitions was. Now, I'm going to help by the Spirit to show you something. He says, let's just take an instance. Bear with me just a little more here. He says, one day, Paul and Silas, coming down the street in a city where they were holding a revival, and a little demon-possessed girl kept following him, crying out after him. And no doubt, but what Paul knowed, that he had the authority as an apostle to rebuke that evil spirit out of that woman. But did you notice, he waited day after day until all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, this is the hour. Then he said, thou spirit, come out of her. He knowed to wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait on him, brothers and sisters. You've heard his voice. You know his voice. Sometimes he's silent. Wait. Wait for him. He knowed to wait on the Lord. And there were so many people today bring a reproach upon the word. They go out with an ambition. See, something that rises up in self. Good intent. Good desire. Spiritual. Looks good. But it's all me and not him. They go out with an ambition. How many revivals have been left flat because of a thing like that? Because the evangelists don't wait to see what the Lord has got to say. Some of them say, come over here, and they go right now because the association said go. And the Holy Spirit would say something different. Yet, the ambition of the man to become a state presbyter or something else, something elder, bishop, something would pull him. You must go. And yet he knows better. And the Holy Spirit saying, go here. And he's yoked to his organization. He says he's a prisoner to the organization. But if he's yoked to Christ, he's led by the Holy Ghost, he's yoked, prisoner. Don't make any difference what anything else says. It's a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. He hears only the voice of God, and speaks only when it comes out. He says nothing. Isn't that beautiful? I love it. Are we called to that? Is he drawing us to that place, into that reality? I believe so. He hears only the voice of God and speaks only when it comes out. He says nothing. Oh my. I'm so blessed. So I love this. I love these things. I love what he's taking, where he's taking us, what he's doing in us by his grace. And again, going back to where we started, it all starts because you can hear. You can hear his voice. You know him. You recognize him. You've seen him in this hour. And in that place, you are separated. Because of that, because you can hear, you are separated unto him, unto his voice, unto his word. He's bringing you to a place where he has complete, total preeminence. That voice is everything. Everything to us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just again bless you tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the working of your spirit, Lord. And each one of us, I believe, in our own lives, an experience that we're encountering with you, falling in love with you more every day, Lord, and experiencing that voice, Lord, your voice, as it changes us, as it consumes us, as it leads us. And Lord, you're so good. We just pray tonight, even now, Lord, that you would, as you're doing a work, I believe, in our hearts, bringing forth prisoners, Lord. Even once again, Lord, tonight, we offer ourselves to you. Say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, let it be. We love you. We love your word. I just want to, again, dedicate ourselves to you, Father. We ask that you would be glorified alone in this, Lord. Minister where, Lord, only you can minister. What you see, what you know in each heart, would you meet that need, Lord? Grant it, we pray. In the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's that song. I think it's in the inserts. I feel the pull. I hear the call. It's in the only believe. Okay. Do we have a number? Yeah. 596. Okay. Yep. That's. There it is. Amen. Would you stand with me? Let's just worship the Lord. At night I lay in bed, and I begin to cry, and my mind just fails to know. Deep, like a great egg.
as I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I hear the call. I know His Spirit's moving to give my all. He speaks to me, and I agree. Lord, please come and take control. I feel
precious that is, brothers and sisters, that voice that speaks to us. Young people, children, listen. He wants to speak to you. Listen for that. Wait for that tug in your heart, something that responds to the Word of God. It's Him. Let go and surrender. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Amen. You're called unto Him, brothers and sisters, to that voice. You're separated unto Him. Amen. Who wants to close? Dad, how about you? Would you come and close? Sorry.
Hey, girls, would you go lay hands on Karen?
Yes.
Charity and Linnell and whoever else. Let's just lift her up to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you. It's not that we heard your word, we hear your word.
Mm-hmm.
That means you're with us to speak now, every day, because you are the great I am. You're with us. Even now, as our sisters lay our hands on Sister Karen, Lord, there's a surgery tomorrow, and she had a difficult time. I'm just asking extra grace.
Yes.
Let it be different this time, mm-hmm. Father. Just may you be seen by the doctors and the nurses, whatever, that you are there by her side with her. Give her a peace that passes understanding. And Father, your healing power, they can do the cutting, but you do the healing.
Yes.
So we give you honor and glory for that, and commit her into your hands. And we're just expecting a wonderful testimony to the power and glory of your name.
Amen.
Thank you for feeding us again. You're so faithful, so good. Your voice is still with us, and we love it more every day, Father. We ask now that you'd be with each one. And I love what Brother Branham says. Let those angels take each one, walk with them to their cars. Get in their car with them, drive them safely home. You're with us, and
yes,
we love it, Father.
Amen.
May your blessings be upon all now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters.